We concluded our service last week, and I went back to the recording booth where Alan was, and he told me that I just preached for an hour and 14 minutes. I was flabbergasted. Could not believe it. And I tell you one way, though. I did find out one thing Wednesday. If you ever want to get a clock fixed, preach an hour and 14 minutes, because Wednesday night, it seems like every man that walked through the front door turned around and wanted to know if the clock was fixed. That'll get it fixed really quick. I appreciate everyone who worked on that. But I told Alan Krim I had to make up for it now. Now, when Dawn heard that, she thought, well, make up for it means you preach 5 minutes a night, you're done. That sort of evens things out. And I said, no, that's not the way that it goes. And so I said, Alan, this may be the funnest sermon you've ever heard. And so he asked me tonight, what's the title of the lesson, the funnest sermon you ever heard? I said, no, that's not what it is. It's Sing to the Lord. And so I invite you to have your songbooks ready. Convenient, we're going to be referring to them quite a bit tonight. Sing to the Lord. It's very important, the things that we do in our singing. In the world, we know and understand that music is one of the most powerful social forces that exist. It's true in every culture throughout all of recorded history that music is a very powerful social force. It can change the emotions, it can help heal our bodies and our minds, and it can motivate us or demotivate us. For Christians, music is a powerful force that God has given us to help us in our daily walk with God. As the church, it makes our assemblies more edifying and worshipful, and as individuals, it helps us to focus and to stay in our priorities. Now, I want to begin the lesson tonight by reminding you of some verses, some scriptures, if you'll turn with me. First of all, to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. We need to notice and to realize that singing was a part of the life of our Savior Jesus Christ and of His apostles. And here we see in Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper in verse 30, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Notice also some other scriptures. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Paul writing says, "For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name." Also, another scripture we're familiar with, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Speaking of Jesus, "I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." And so we see, as Jesus Christ was getting ready to conclude His ministry here upon the earth, and as He instituted the Lord's Supper, the memorial that whereby Christians for perpetuity throughout the remainder of this world would proclaim His death, that they sang a hymn there. Also notice that this was carried over by the apostles. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And here Paul and Silas are in prison. They have been preaching the gospel. And here those who did not appreciate those things which they had preached had arranged for them to be thrown into prison. Now I want you to notice, and in all of the distress that had to be in their life at that time, Paul and Silas are here. In verse 25 we read, "But about midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." And so I want us to notice that the apostles and Christians in the first century were using singing in a way which was ministering to themselves and also to those who are around them. And it does the same thing for us today. Whatever our situation may be, if we are down and sad, the songs can help to lift us up. If we're happy, they can help to keep us happy and to motivate us. Proverbs 29 and verse 6, by transgression the evil man is ensnared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. And this is something that we as Christians need to have constantly in our life. Turn your song books over to number 683. And this is a song that we like to sing here quite a bit. And as I've been in attendance to a number of congregations, perhaps just as you, I have noticed that the young people in particularly enjoy this song. And perhaps it's because of the different parts that are going on and those types of things. But I think it's perhaps more than that, it's the message of the song. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. And that's what singing does for us. That if we're down, if things are hard, if things are difficult, singing these songs, perhaps we've committed them or parts of them to memory. Driving on the way to work and dealing with all of the traffic, what can make that be so much easier and keep us in a spiritual mind? It is singing songs to the Lord that they remind us of these things and they encourage us and they edify us and they just keep us with spiritual thoughts throughout the day as we're dealing with the things that we have to deal with. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 5 and verse 13. I want you to notice here a direct commandment from the Lord, as is spoken, written here by James. James chapter 5 and verse 13. James 5 and verse 13. In the middle of the verse, is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. If anyone's cheerful, he is to sing praises. Now, why do you think the Lord would give us such a command as this? Think about in your life. Maybe your life is similar to mine. When things are pretty tough for me, when things aren't really going my way, when I'm sad and I may be down and things are just not going good, it seems to me that it's very easy for me to pray. And I just pray and pray and pray and pray throughout the day. Just goes on and goes on and goes on and just, maybe 50 times a day, here I'm praying to God. Sometimes the more formal prayer, sometimes just a few words as the day is going by. But when things are going good, when everything's going my way, when I really don't have any problems, I don't have any worries, do I pray 50 times a day? I don't pray 50 times a day. Not near as much as when things are going bad. And so it can be more difficult for me to have a spiritual mindset on things. And I think perhaps this is why the Lord has said this. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing songs. Open your songbook to number 664. This is another favorite song of mine. As I was thinking about these things, this one came to mind. He gave me a song. The Lord gave me a song. What does it say? He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. A wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. And so that's what we're doing. When things are going so well and things are going our way, how is it that we stay in this spiritual mindset? Part of it is singing these songs. Now you say, well, Alan, I'm sitting in the middle of class. If I start singing out loud, people are going to think I'm crazy. They're going to react in some sort of strange way. So we don't need to do that. Just have the song within our heart. Have it in our mind. As the day goes by, I mean, our mind is drifting upon different things. Let them drift upon these things, these spiritual songs. And also, I want to call your attention back over to the book of Revelation, because as God's people, we are a singing people. That's the way it's always been. It's the way that it's always going to be. Jesus and the apostles, Christians, whether they're in the first century or today, we're commanded to be a singing people. And I want you to notice that when we get to heaven, we're going to be a singing people. Revelation 14 and verse 3, as has already been read this evening, "And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth." Now this is the redeemed. And what is the redeemed doing in heaven? The redeemed is worshiping God, and part of that worship is our singing, blending our voices together in praise to God. Turn over to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 3. Here is one of the great scenes of heaven that we have in the Bible. One of the numerous scenes in the book of Revelation. Verse 3, "And they sang the song of Moses." And we talked about that last week. Here Moses, as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they sang a song of praising God for His deliverance from captivity. And so we're going to be singing to God the song of Moses and of the Lamb, freedom from captivity of the slavery of sin and eternal damnation, to be saved and live eternally in heaven. And so we're going to be praising and worshiping God. Turn your song books over to number 259. 259. And this song came to mind. 259. "In heaven they're singing." And I don't know if we know this song here in this congregation. A beautiful song. "In heaven they're singing a wonderful song, a theme that shall never grow old. And glorified millions are singing it now in that beautiful city of gold. They're singing the songs of salvation, a story that never grows old. And glorified millions are singing it now in that beautiful city of gold." And so we, as God's people, we are a singing people. We have these things within our hearts, and as we live in these physical bodies, sometimes we may just think them in our minds. We may sing them in our minds. Sometimes we may be driving in our cars, and we just sing out loud a little bit. Doesn't have to be real loud. And we also sing as we assemble together as God's people here. And now I want to talk about that for just a moment. I want to look at a couple of scriptures with you for just a moment that you're very familiar with. The first one is Ephesians chapter 5. And I want us to pull out a few of the things that we're doing as we assemble together and in our worship and as we sing. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Don't be filled with wine, and drinking wine, you do not have control of your senses, and it's dissipation. You dissipate. You're going the wrong way. Instead of going forward in your service to God, you're backing up. He says, "But be filled with the Spirit." And I want you to notice what we have here in part, that we do that, filled with the Spirit, verse 19, "speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." And so we're singing, we're speaking to one another. And what is important is what's going on in our heart. It's not really the sound that's coming out. Now, we want to make that sound the best that we can. But you know, as you grow old, I'm not old yet, but as you grow older, this voice doesn't work the way that it used to. I remember my father. He would be talking about leading singing and how he couldn't lead singing the way that he used to, and he couldn't hit the high notes the way that he used to, or the low notes the way that he used to. And I would just be a young person saying, "Yeah, you know, sure. But you know what? Here I'm getting a little bit older myself, and it just doesn't work as well anymore. And it doesn't matter how the physical instrument works. It matters about the heart. This morning and this evening, in our service together, I'll tell you what was one of the most edifying and encouraging things to happen to me. And that was to hear Miss Polly singing behind me. To hear her lift her voice to God with her heart. That was encouraging to me. Now, we do this making melody in our heart. Make melody means to play play strings or pluck strings. And what are the strings that we're plucking and we're playing? The strings of our heart. And that's what God is listening to. You know, I've got to tell you the truth. There's been some brethren that are just flat out tone deaf. And couldn't sing on key for anything. And some of them sing just as loud as can be. And that's perfectly fine. Because when one sings out with his heart, it doesn't matter if you're on key or off of key. One of the best song leaders I've ever heard couldn't sing on key for anything. But you know what? He'd start that song and we'd all just join in and we would sing. He was there singing with his heart. That's what the Lord is listening to. Our hearts were singing to the Lord. And you know, do we think of it in that way? As you've been here tonight, and we're sitting here, we're singing these songs. Did you really think about, I am singing to God? Did you think about that? Or did you just say, I'm just sitting here with a songbook. I'm just doing the best that I can. I'm singing. It's fun. I enjoy it, you know, and these types of things. But did you really think about the fact that you're communicating to God? That His ears are wide open. He's listening to what's in your heart, what's being poured out of your heart. He's listening. He's paying attention to those things. We're singing to the Lord. Also, turn your Bibles real quick over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And that's what we all want, isn't it? Everybody here wants the Word of Christ richly dwelling in us. We have the strength that comes from the Word of God, the knowledge, the capabilities. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says here. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom, doing what? Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so that's what we're doing. Do we think about that? I mean, I enjoy singing just as much as the rest of you do. And I think that it's fun. But we need to not get carried away with the fun part so much that we forget what we're doing. That we're admonishing and that we're encouraging. You know, to be singing here and to say, I'm singing to all of these people. I'm talking to all of these people. And I'm encouraging them and I'm uplifting them. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's enjoyable. We enjoy doing these things. But more than the fun is what we're doing for each other as we sing to the Lord. Well, of course, what we do with our hearts, it's most important. But we do sing physically. And we do use this instrument that God has given to us. And the fact of the matter is, the better we use this instrument, the more edifying and encouraging we're going to be to ourselves and to one another. And so the second part of this lesson, I want to talk about the physical instrument of the voice. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a couple of things, and then I'm going to ask Rick to come up and lead us in one verse of a song. We've got about five songs picked out, just one verse. And I'm going to talk about some of the things that would be very helpful for us if we just pay attention to the very basic, simple things of singing. And let me say here, the singing here is wonderful. The singing is beautiful. And you can tell upon occasion, you can tell when people are just a little bit more excited about our singing. For some reason, it may be the day, it may be something about it. But you can tell when people are just a little bit more excited, and perhaps we do some of these things without even thinking about it, and our singing goes up. Well, it can go up quite a bit if we just do these few things. The first one I want to mention to us, again, many of these you know, you've heard before. The first one I want to talk about is open your mouth. You know, we can't talk very well if we don't open our mouth. Have you ever watched, for example, on the news, on TV, and perhaps there is a guest on the TV that's not very experienced talking, and the guest won't really open their mouth, and it's sort of like they're mumbling. And you can't really, you just have to really listen to hear what they're saying. It's just hard to understand. Well, the person who's experienced speaker, you see that their mouth is open. Their mouth isn't just sort of like you're just sort of mumbling like this. You can even try to talk loud like this. You just can't talk too loud with your mouth. You can't talk too much. And so we need to open our mouths. And if we do that, if we take a congregation and the folks are not opening their mouths, and we can just get them to open their mouths when they sing, the singing's probably going to be twice what it was before. So open our mouths, and perhaps even try to exaggerate that a little bit. Say, am I opening my mouth too much? Have you ever seen, not that we want to be all opera singers or something like that, personally, I can't understand what they're saying. And if it's not in a program, I sure can't understand it because it's usually in a foreign language. But have you ever seen those opera singers? Bah, they got their mouths wide open, don't they? Open your mouth. So think about that. The second thing, before we sing a song, we're going to try these things, is stand tall or sit tall. If you know what the sternum is, that's sort of that bone that goes down the rib cage right there. That's the sternum. And they say, just lift that up a little bit. Now, let me tell you why. What you're hearing when I speak or you speak, you are not hearing my vocal cords. You're not hearing the sound that my vocal cords make. My vocal cords are just two little pieces of tissue that come together and go apart a little bit. That's all they do. What you are hearing is the resonance of my head and my chest. That's what you're hearing. That's what you're hearing. So we need to open this up. We need to sit up tall. We'll talk about breathing in just a moment. We need to sit up tall. We need to lift up the chest just a little bit so that it opens up and it can resonate and vibrate a little bit. And we open our mouth and we let the resonance of our head. Our head is resonating. That's our voice. And so let's try that. Why don't we stand? Rick has got a song. It's number 35, Rick. Is that it? 37. Revive Us Again. Now, I chose this song so that it's not a real fast song. It's one that we don't have to worry about a lot of fast words, but just concentrate on opening your mouth, standing tall, and opening up your mouth. Be seated, please. Now, was it my imagination or was that the best singing of the night? Dennis, what do you think? I'd say so. Dennis, you want to rate that about how much better than the singing we had earlier tonight? You know, I'll tell you the truth, I sort of thought that myself. About twice. Very simple thing that we did, wasn't it? You know, maybe there's times when we're all just feeling a little bit more exuberant just by nature. We want to stand up a little taller. We want to just open that mouth a little more. But boom, the sound comes right out. And so, if we do nothing but that, if you remember nothing but that tonight, there's a couple of other things I think that you may remember, but remember nothing but that, stand or sit tall and open that mouth, our singing, boom, is going to be quite a bit better than it is on some occasions. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is breathing, because it takes air to sing. And if we don't breathe, then we're not going to have the air that we need. And there, many of you, if you're in chorus or in band or something like that, you've heard of the diaphragm. The diaphragm is right under the lungs here, and it is the mechanism that helps us to control the air that is coming out of the lungs. So to bring air into the lungs, the diaphragm comes down, and to push air out, then it goes up. It comes down for air to come in, and it moves up for air to go out. And this is the support that we need, particularly if we're going to sing the high notes. Ladies, as you're singing the high parts, song leaders, as you're singing the high parts, tenors, as you're singing, to get the, it's called breath support, to get the breath support to be able to sing way up there, we've got to have an engine down here that's really percolating. And so we breathe down low. Let this diaphragm come down. One of the little movies, it's one of the Disney channels, and I forget which one it, which movie it is. The girl is going to school in the summer, and it's a music school, and she's taking voice lessons, and it's at the beginning of the movie, and she's trying to sing, and she's trying to sing these high notes and just sort of squeaking and not really singing much of anything. And the instructor tells her, breathe, breathe low. It's okay to look fat. Of course, a young girl doesn't want to look fat, right? But to get the air down, we have to make room for it. And so there's going to be some expansion here. So go on, if you look a little bit fatter, that's okay. Go on and give some expansion there and use that diaphragm. The other thing with the air is that we have to move the air. We can't let our singing be starved for air. Let me try to illustrate it like this. I'll take just a real very shallow breath and try to say something. Okay, I'm trying to say something right now. I can't. It's as loud as I can talk. But if I take a deep breath and just let the air flow through, then it changes everything, doesn't it? And so, we want to open our mouths, we want to stand or sit tall, we want to go on and take a good breath, and we want to let the air just come right out. And to do that, just some relaxation. Just let it come on out. So think about that. Rick is going to lead us in another song, number 276. Stay seated this time. Practice sitting tall. It means you have to move back in your seats a little bit. You're going to have to not slouch, but sit tall. Open your mouth. Breathe down low. This is why it's so hard to sing while we're sitting, is because it's hard to breathe down low while we're sitting. Breathe down low and let the air move out. Rick 276. I don't know about you, but after hearing that, I want to sing some more verses. Very good. Let's talk about a few more things. Increase the throat space. On the news not too long ago, I heard a consultant to CEOs. You know, it's very important, the image that a CEO portrays, and it's very important that the CEO have a voice that's like a CEO. A CEO of a company, a guy doesn't want to walk into the company and sound like some little wimpy person. I mean, he wants to have an authoritative voice, be a man, be a woman, whatever it is. And so this consultant would go and teach these CEOs, what can you do to have a little bit more commanding voice? And to do that, you have to open up the throat. Now, there's a very easy way to do that, is just yawn. Everybody yawn. I'm not that boring now. Come on. Let's do it again. Now, remember what that feels like when you yawn. Take a breath and yawn. It's pretty wide open back there, isn't it? Pretty wide open back there. So when you sing, you sort of want to, not that you want to put everybody to sleep, but you want to have that open throat just like a yawn. So try to remember what that feels like. Let me try to illustrate it. Closed throat versus an open throat. Closed throat would be something like this. I've got my throat closed. I don't. Trying to pinch it here just as much as I can. I don't really have it open and, you know, those type of things, but I go on and yawn a little bit about it and it just opens up for me. So open up the throat just like you would yawn. And I want us to try that because the things I've talked about so far are the most important things, I believe, because none of us here are music majors. We're not professionals. We're just wanting some tips that are going to help us in our singing. So open the mouth, sit, stand tall, breathe low, let the air move on out, and open up the throat. We want to sing number 205. And I chose this one because it doesn't move very much. The notes aren't real fast. And it lets us practice on getting that opened up and making that sound. Number 205, Amazing Grace. Go on, and we'll stay seated for this one. Sit up tall. Very good. I don't know if you figured it out so far, but you can't sit up tall with your book in your lap. Doesn't work that way. So if you can, get your book up so that you can sit up. Or if you're like me, with my glasses, I couldn't see down here anyway. So make sure you got your book up to a place that's convenient. Now, let me just mention a few other things that are not quite as important. One is pay attention to diction. And me, with my southern accent, I don't have much to talk about with this. But, I remember in Georgia, we lived in South Georgia, we would go to hear the kids do a little thing at school, and it was really quite hilarious. And, of course, the state song is Georgia on My Mind by Ray Charles. And so they'd all sing, Georgia. Couldn't understand what they're saying. Was some southern accent thing. And so diction. In other words, whether you've got an accent or not, like me, we want to pronounce the words. And we just don't want to just sort of be sloppy with the words. We want to pay attention, which is hard for me to do because sometimes my mind wanders a little bit. We want to pay attention. We want to pronounce the words and try to sing phrases. Now, I want you to turn over to a song. I want to show you this real quick. Number 280. Number 280. Now, when a songwriter writes a song, usually he'll try to tell us where to breathe so that you know, we sing a phrase and we breathe and we sing another phrase. Well, a songwriter will use punctuation. Are you telling me not only do I have to look at the words, now I got to look at the commas and the periods? Yeah, if you want to make it just a little bit better, you do. I want you to notice this song, number 280, and notice where the punctuation is. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. See, I did that all the way through. I didn't say, though none go with me, I still will follow. I said, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And so, pronounce the words. And this will come, really, if we open our mouths, that's going to happen anyway. Open our mouths, pronounce the words, and look at the phrasing. Try to take a breath. Now, if you need to take a breath somewhere else, that's perfectly fine. But try to take a breath. And song leaders, try to lead the songs so that we take a breath where it makes sense. And usually the songwriter does that. So everybody pay attention to that. You've already seen this song where the commas come. Try to take a breath where the comma is, and you're going to hear that the song sounds a little bit better because of that. So what are we talking about so far? Opening our mouths. Let's stand up for this one in just a second. We're going to breathe low. We're going to move the air. We're going to yawn a little bit to get the throats open. We're going to, as we open our mouth, we're going to pronounce the words, and we're going to pay attention to the phrases. And Rick, let's do, since this is a short song, why don't we do the first and the last verse? First and last verse now, 280. Stand up, please. Well, you're all doing a wonderful job. The singing is beautiful, not that it wasn't anyway. But at least to me, as we just think about these things, it really makes the singing, it makes it more vibrant, more energetic, much more encouraging, whether we're singing a slow song or a fast song, whatever it may be, just because we're concentrating on how this instrument is supposed to work. And when we do it the way that it's supposed to work, it's going to sound a little bit better. Well, three more things I want to mention, and then we'll sing one more song, and I'll close the lesson after that. These are even less important. Balanced register. This is probably really nothing that any of us here are going to be able to master, and that is simply when we go throughout the register from high to low, be consistent with the tone and the volume, and that's probably not anything any of us are going to be able to master. But the thing that perhaps we can remember with that is let's try to be as consistent as we can. When we go up to the high notes, we don't want to get a whole lot louder. And when we go to the low notes, we don't want to get a whole lot softer. We want to try to keep it balanced as much as we can. The next one is something I think that we all need to pay perhaps more attention to than any of these, and that is to communicate. You know, when we're singing, and if we have this whole attitude of communicating, that we're just not going through a motion here, that we're just not making some sort of noise here, but we're really communicating. Sing as if you're communicating to the people at the other end of the building. And more than that, sing like you're communicating to God, because we are communicating to God. And you know, if Jesus were standing up on this podium this morning, this evening, I suppose all of us would be just giving it 100%. Because Jesus is right here, and we see Him, and it's just so real to us. But we can't see Jesus, we can't see God, but they're there, they're here, they're listening. And so we need to remember, communicate. And when we do that, a lot of these things will happen all by themselves. And the last one is be confident. It's true that I don't think any of us here are professional singers. I know I certainly am not. And it's not like any of us are going to go out and we're going to make hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars singing. And so in one way, we can look at our singing and say, you know, compared to lots of people, our singing is not that good. And there are a lot better singers out there and all these things. But that is not what is important. What is important is what we're doing, that we're obeying the Lord. We're doing what God wants us to do with the right heart and zeal and enthusiasm and fervor and all of those things. And so be confident. And you know, that's that way with everything in life. If you're as confident as you can be about something, you're going to do it the best that you can do it. Sometimes, just like with high school or college sports, even professional sports, the team that wins is the one that's most confident. That's the only difference. It's not about ability. When it comes to the Super Bowl, they're pretty well equally matched. It's not ability so much as the one who's confident to go out there and to do the job no matter what. That's the team that's usually going to win. And so we need to be confident. Song leaders, you come up, you may say, I can't lead singing very well. I say, well, we can all say that, but I can tell you this. You'll do a better job if you're confident about it than you would do otherwise. Be confident about it. We're going to have one more practice song, and that is number 350. Number 350. And I know whom I have believed. And I chose this song to emphasize the confidence that we have as Christians. I know whom I have believed. And let's sing it with confidence that I know it, I don't doubt it, that there's no question what I believe, who I believe in, and the eternal life that is waiting for me. Absolute confidence. What are we thinking about? Opening our mouth. Let's stand up in a second. Standing tall, get our songbooks up, breathe low, move the air, yawn a little bit, increase the throat space, pronounce the words, sing phrases, communicate with the Lord and with one another with confidence. Let's stand for this song, number 350. Well, you've been a wonderful audience tonight. Thank you for putting up with me. Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Did a wonderful job in your singing and your worship to God, and I appreciate that so much. Appreciate Rick as he's led us in these songs and helped me with this part of our service. I encourage you to keep these things in mind. Perhaps I'll use this slide some with our PowerPoint at the beginning of our services, just to flash it up there. Every once in a while, just to remind us of these things that we've been talking about. To open up our mouth, to stand tall or to sit tall, and to breathe, take the air in and move the air out. To increase the throat space and to pronounce our words and best we can to sing the phrases. And most of all, communicate with one another and with God. God's people have always been a singing people. What's most important than anything else is our heart and what's in our heart. Also, though, as we use this physical instrument, the better we do that, the more edifying and encouraging our services will be as we assemble together. Please keep these things in mind. You did a wonderful job tonight. I appreciate that so much. Your good attention and trying to do the things that we talked about. We're going to extend the gospel invitation now. And it's number 3. Is it 330? Just as I am. 330, just as I am. You know, God doesn't care how good we can sing. He's not looking for people who are good singers, like He needs some choir in heaven or something like that. But He is looking for our obedience. And part of our obedience as Christians is singing. That's why we've been working on it tonight, because we care about it, because it's something that the Lord wants us to do. But to become a Christian, we don't have to sing. We simply have to believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior, repent of our sins. That's a change of our mind, not to do that which is wrong, do that which is right, which brings about an outward change, because we actually do change. To confess our faith, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized in obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be baptized for the remission of our sins. If you're not a Christian tonight, just as you are, the Lord will take you if you're willing to obey Him. If we can help you tonight, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing.